Because what I don't like is having to carry around shit.
Welcome to Geeks Without God with Nick Glover, Tim Wick, and Molly Glover.
We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, we're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks, geeks without God.
This week on Geeks Without God, it's a Geeky Boners episode. We talk about House of Cards, fantasy fiction, and E3 2015. There might be a Game of Thrones spoiler in there, too.
We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, geeks without God.
Welcome to Geeks Without God. I'm your host, Nick Glover. I'm joined, as always, by my co-hosts, Molly Glover.
Hello.
And Tim Wick.
I am here.
And today is a Geeky Boners episode.
Boing.
Clank.
My water goes clank.
I don't know. I panicked.
Wobble.
Man. Boners don't go clank. Maybe it's a robot boner.
A roboner.
A roboner.
Yeah. So as you
Boner
know,
5,000 programmed to be erect. It talks.
At this point, some new listeners like, what the fuck is this?
If you don't know, a Geeky Boners episode is where we talk about what geeky things in our lives, whether it's, you know, video game, TV show, something crazy, something personal that has our geek-rection flowing.
Geek-rection, that's the first time we've used that word, and I like it a lot. We should use it more often.
Geek-rection.
Geek-rection.
Yeah, it's what we're nerdy about, what we're enthusiastic about in a borderline sexual way.
Yeah.
Tim, what has you turgid?
Well, what's got me stiff is I just started watching House of Cards. I know it's season 3.
Yeah.
I know it's season 3. I just started on season 1. And I am very much enjoying the show. We're kind of binge watching. By the time this episode airs, I'll probably be done with it.
It's so good.
It's political intrigue, man.
It's like the West Wing, if everybody in the West Wing was a complete douche.
Yeah, okay.
And if everybody in the West Wing was more like what we all assume politicians are like anyway.
What's the opposite of altruistic? Like, that's what they all
How
are.
Would you Americanize the name Macbeth? Because I feel like if there was an American version of that name, like, yeah.
That's good, yeah.
Yeah, it's, it's interesting. The main character, obviously, probably most of our listeners know the show, but just in case you don't, I mean, the main character, he's a majority whip in the House of Representatives.
And that's Kevin Spacey,
that's
right?
That's Kevin Spacey, who's fucking amazing.
Yeah.
And he has designs on, I mean, he wants power. He clearly wants power. And he's got designs on how he's going to get that power. And you are kind of rooting for him because he's really smart, but he's also just a complete cad.
Cad is the perfect word.
Smart but charismatic, but like he is like a Machiavellian manipulator.
The ends justify the means. He does not give a fuck about anyone or anything. He will screw over literally anyone to get power. And the interesting thing about him is once he gets that power, it's not like he wants to do anything with it except keep it.
Mm-hmm.
He wants power
for power's sake.
He doesn't want to do good for people. He wants to be one of the most powerful people in America and in the world because that's what he wants.
Yeah. Then what? Like what?
Yeah. You don't see that there's any goal for him to do good for anybody.
Mm-hmm.
It's only about doing good for himself.
Right.
And you know, everything has to go to hell in a hand. I mean, the name of the show is House of Cards. They're not pretending that this isn't all going to go horribly wrong for him. But every time it's about to go wrong for him and it goes right, you're kind of like, yeah.
How far, do you remember what was the last, because I don't want to accidentally say something, so I'm not saying anything. Like, whereabouts are you?
I think we're about episode 7 or 8 of season 1. So I've just, they just solve the teachers' strike.
Okay.
Oh, okay. Yep.
And so he just had, he looked like he was going to have a major setback, and he managed to get himself out of it.
I can't wait for you to start season 2.
Yeah, it starts
amazing. Really well.
We have had listeners on our five questions say that their favorite atheist character is Frank Underwood.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and they don't, and maybe they specify later. I mean, he's a representative from South Carolina,
mm-hmm.
so he plays at being religious.
Yes.
He clearly plays at being religious, but I don't,
a man of faith,
for a second believe that he believes in God, because I don't think he, to him, believing in God would imply that somebody else was the master of his fate.
Yeah.
Right.
He is absolutely of the belief that nobody is the master of his fate but him.
Or believing in God would mean that he would believe that there is a power he cannot attain, that there is literally a higher power, that there is something he cannot be. And I think the way that Frank Underwood is he thinks that there is no door barred to him. There is no office he can't take. I'm sure he thinks that if he were to go to another country, he could be, you know, in power over there as well. Like, it's not about just that he's in America, you know,
He's a really compelling character, and his wife is really interesting as well.
I love Claire Underwood.
She's fantastic.
She's a little messed up herself.
There's a lot. As the show progresses, you get more ancillary characters get fleshed out a little bit more, in the sense of, like, you see them more, you know. And so with any first season of a show, they have to focus on their core.
Yeah, and they're kind of establishing those core characters.
Yep.
And then they've got the reporter Zoe.
Zoe Barnes.
Who is to news what the Spacey character is to politics.
Yeah. Very, that's accurate. I like the balding right-hand man guy.
I don't remember
Doug.
His name. I'm watching the show right
now. I don't remember. He's great. I don't think they've gone into why he has such loyalty to Underwood, but his loyalty seems unwavering and absolute.
It does.
It makes me think that something happened. Like, there's a story there for sure. I love characters in shows where just the way they speak and look at each other, you can tell that there is a story there, that there is a history, that there's unspoken things being passed between them that aren't explicit, because that's how humans are. You know, when you watch regular people in real life interact with each other, their entire history, I mean, they're remembering and not remembering everything they've ever done together, you know, in those
there's
conversations.
Uniqueness to the relationship that is unspoken.
Cool.
So, yeah, a really good show. It is streaming on Netflix. It's a Netflix original series, so you can watch...
All of it.
After that, you got to watch Sense8.
You should watch Sense8, Tim.
We can talk about that.
Okay.
Do an episode on that.
I think that'd be a good episode. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'll get to that.
Sometime after Convergence, before Fringe, and not during Renaissance Festivals.
Right. I got all the time.
So October.
So Molly, what is your boner?
My enormous erection it's so big. I'm gonna just say it's actually for fantasy right now, because I've got a couple things. One is, my coworker Sam Bailey recommended a book to me called The Lies of Locke Lamora. And it is a great, and I started reading it I'm almost 200 pages in, and I love it. It's the story of this guy, Locke Lamora, and his life. And he is a master thief and liar and actor, and he's one of the gentleman bastards. And I think it's a trilogy, so I like it a lot. The reason I asked him is because I'm on this fantasy kick right now, because I just finished my reread, or I guess re-listen, of The Name of the Wind and King and Wise Man's Fear, and then Nick and I listened to The Slow Regard of Silent Things, which are all Patrick Rothfuss books I know I've talked about before.
The Four Corners.
And then Game of Thrones just ended.
Yeah.
So if you have not seen this season of Game of Thrones, all the way up into the finale, and this is season 5.
Yeah.
So probably just fast forward. I'll probably talk like 5-10 minutes. Anyway,
spoilers.
So a lot of people this season hated a lot of stuff, and a lot of it was because of changes they made from the books. And at first, I didn't like when they first started changing things from the books, which, by the way, has been happening since season 1. So if you think this was the season that went off the books, you're fucking wrong. Since the very first season, they've changed things. So these have been two different things. to different, you know, media animals, as it were. But I was very bored with this season for about the first 6 episodes, because the stuff that was being changed felt like it was robbing some of my favorite things of what I loved about them, like Dorne and the Sand Snakes, which are garbage. They're garbage in this show. They
Sand Fakes.
Yeah, the Sand Fakes. They took everything good about them away and added a bunch of horrible stuff that makes no sense. But then there were some things that got changed that I don't have a problem with. Like, there's this whole character arc in the books with this girl, Jane Poole, who was friends with Sansa Stark, and she ends up doing all this stuff that Sansa's doing in the show. Because they didn't want to introduce a new character and not have Sophie Turner do a bunch of stuff. Turner, yeah. So they were like, well, I have this beautiful actress. She's very good. She's a well-established character. She's liked by people, the character. Why would I bring in a third party that no one knows just to have her do these things and then leave? Let's just make them all happen to Sansa. Makes sense to me. But people freaked out because Sansa got raped. And everyone is like, they changed it and she didn't need to get raped and it's so stupid. It's like, but they didn't change it. All they changed is Sansa got raped instead of this other girl. Like, they didn't change anything. So all these people who were so mad when saying it was so unnecessary because it wasn't in the books, it's like, but it was in the books. You're just mad it happened to someone you like and care about, as opposed to this nobody girl that no one cared about who isn't a main character. And so it bothered me that all these people who are, like, so very, you know, feminist and anti, you know, whatever, are saying, like, the reason I didn't like it is because it wasn't in the books. It's like, the reason you shouldn't like it is because it was rape at all, but it did happen in the books to a different girl. It just matters more to you, I guess, because it was Sansa. That bothered me. But I liked the finale. It was great. The finale had 5 plot points I was very hoping to see, and they were all the big ones, if you saw it. Was, but especially my favorite thing is that, and I'm sorry, Tim, to spoil this all for you.
No.
My favorite thing is that now the people who have read the books and have had this amazing cliffhanger, there's now the show people have to do it too, which is Jon Snow dead? Holy shit, he got stabbed to shit. And that's where we were left in the books as well, is him bleeding to death in the snow. And
we don't know
don't know either. Yeah. So now suck it. Now you don't know. Now you feel our pain for the last 4 years. Right. And it's really
the
good.
The actor is not contracted for next year.
The actor is not contracted for next year. And he has said he is not coming back next season. And he very specifically said he is not coming back next season. He's never said I'm not coming back or I'm done with the show. And the producers have said he's dead. Dead is dead. Not coming back, whatever.
They didn't say not coming back.
They just said he's dead. Now, I will point out, they very clearly showed Melisandre coming through the gates of Castle Black to be at the wall, and there's a fucking reason she's there, and there's magic afoot. Right. There's magic afoot, I know it. But George R. R. Martin has said that he is, I don't believe him, but he's going to try to get the next book out, Winds of Winter, before the 6th season of the show airs.
Uh-huh.
Because right now the book readers are like, oh, so fuck us, I guess. Like, we're just, now I'm going to find out from a show?
Well, everybody knew. I mean, to me, it's like everybody should have known. I mean, they've been talking about it for a while, that the series is catching up to the books.
Yeah, yeah.
And eventually the series is going to be ahead of the books.
And it might not be the same thing as the thing. It could be wrong. And since George Martin is kind of a prick, he's very like, oh, is that what's happening? Who'll know my machinations? And it's like, all right, just fucking say that they're different or they're the same. Like, it doesn't, you don't need to be all like, ooh, riddle me this, fans of GOT, what shall transpire in Westeros? It's like, just fucking write the book. I just, that's all I want to, I just want to read your goddamn book. But, so I don't know. So I'm very hard for a thrilling finale to what was heretofore a pretty boring season.
I heard a lot of people critique it for the writing. They didn't feel the writing this year was very good.
Yeah, the writing in the books aren't very good. Like, he's not, I mean, that's, everyone's like, oh, the dialogue's really poor. It's like, he's not very good at dialogue. Like, sometimes it's good and sometimes it's not great. If you ever want to know what color everyone's nipples are, read the Game of Thrones books.
Oh, yeah.
Nipple yeah. colors described from here to eternity. Oh, anytime absolutely. Someone has shape, a shirt off, size, coffee color. Colored nipples, shell pink nipples, yeah. candy colored nipples, bright red nipples, ruddy nipples, large chocolate nipples, round nipples, oval nipples.
I remember ruddy nipples.
Ruddy nipples, long nipples, small rosebuds of nipples on a man's chest.
Nipples that climb on rocks.
Nipples on a breastplate, nipples downstairs, nipples with chickenpox.
Wow, lots of nipples.
Lots of nipples. George R. R. Martin loves to talk about the color of nipples.
He really loves
color, size, shape.
Yeah, all
mostly
of it.
Color.
Mostly
I
color.
I am George R. R. Martin, and I love the nipples.
Anytime a woman is walking, she feels the fabric of her clothes brushing against her nipples, or she feels her breasts move, because I think he's just obsessed with what it must feel like to have breasts.
I think George R. R. Martin knows what it's like to have breasts. To some extent. He's at least vaguely familiar.
So my boner is for those things, excluding George R. R. Martin's breasts.
Great.
All right. Nick.
Yo.
A question I've asked you many times, actually.
Yes.
Nick, are you hard, and what's it for?
unlike the majority of the times I've been asked, I'm going to say yes, and E3 is
ooh,
right now. E3
yeah.
is, as we record this, the electronics Expedition, Expo,
it's
Exponential.
Three E's. Whatever it is, it's three E's.
I used to know, it used to matter, but it doesn't anymore. E3 is...
I think it's Electronic Entertainment Expo.
I think that's right.
Yeah, I think you're right.
It's, and unlike Comic Cons, which are no longer about comics, E3 is still about electronic entertainment. It's,
video games, specifically, not movies
right,
or whatever.
Right, right. It's where Microsoft and Sony and Nintendo and Bethesda and Ubisoft and all the big
Lion's Head sort of
EA and all the different
Nintendo
Steam all the different people
yep.
show up and they talk about what they're going to do in the next year or two and they show off their new shiny shit and get everyone nice and hard and ready
mm-hmm.
and
wet.
Hopefully these days inflate their pre-orders
yeah.
because a lot of the pre-order stuff is set to line up with like the week of the expo because you know that's
mm-hmm.
how they
mm-hmm.
get their
yeah.
dick wet. So a few things this year that I thought were super stellar that I'm really looking forward to. We're an Xbox home, so
yeah.
Microsoft has a new Elite controller coming out, which is all programmable buttons. It's modular. You can swap out thumbsticks in your D-pad with. I need longer thumbsticks for better control. Each of the analog sticks will have a dial for sensitivity on the stick.
That's so cool.
And then there's going to be paddles you can put on the back for your back fingers, which are all mappable. And then the triggers are going to have hair trigger hard switches, so you can flip the switches so that you turn on hair trigger so that they pull just on a touch
yeah,
rather than
yeah.
on a full pull.
Also, the backwards compatibility thing.
That's... So then they also announced backwards compatibility with certain 360 games where you put in your disc, you download the game, and your disc is kind of the key that lets you play the downloaded version.
Huh.
It'll be roughly the same graphics, but a better machine running them. But then all the features like online play and screenshots and taking video of your games
mm-hmm.
that the older system didn't have, those older games will have with the new system, which is cool.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, it's really narrow select titles at the start. Developers and publishers have to like okay their titles for
sure.
this list. So
that makes sense.
And I'm sure there's some work on their part to like make them.
My guess is Fable 2 probably won't be on that list since it's like 6 years old.
It's a Microsoft game, so there's a
good
chance it will.
That's a good point.
It's an exclusive.
They have an easier chance of getting Microsoft to say yes than
yeah.
pretty much any other company.
Well,
so,
I would
yeah.
hope so.
another cool thing that Microsoft has is Windows 10 streaming. So if you have an Xbox in your house, you can bust out your computer and play your Xbox games on your computer remotely.
That is cool.
Locally to your house, not like while on vacation or anything. But they also had a HoloLens, which is a like a VR headset that you wear that
mm-hmm.
you can see the world. It's open lenses, but you they have cameras on them, and they project an image out in front of you. So it looks like you're interacting with a hologram, but really what it is it's sensing your head motion and tilting and where you're looking and your surroundings, and then filling some of your vision with an image that blocks some of what you're actually seeing. So it looks like holograms, but it's really just a screen in front of your face that's covering some things. And they showed someone playing Minecraft with someone where they could pull up their whole Minecraft world and move it around with their hands. And it was so precise that it has eye tracking cameras, so it can tell what square in Minecraft you are looking at.
Wow.
And you could lightning bolt things, and it would, he lightning bolted a pig from way zoomed out. It was accurate enough to tell that he was looking at that specific pig.
That's awesome.
Which is,
I bet it takes a lot of practice, but
it's obviously not, you know, done yet, and it's consumer,
it's
stuff.
It's still cool.
That's certainly consumer stuff.
Yeah, fucking
it's
amazing.
It's still super cool.
It's like we're getting, you know, someday we'll be in you know, fucking Minority Report too.
Yeah. Well, it's all gesture controls. Yeah. That's outward facing.
Minority Report is the I've always thought that's the computing of the, you know, that's where it's going.
That's what the computing of the future should be. That's what
makes the most sense to me, yeah.
Tablet technology, I mean, it's there in one sense. Like, you know, an iPad has that granularity of movement, but what you need to do is you need to create it on a bigger scale.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, that's what AR, smaller individual people screens with AR is going to be better than bigger screen stuff. But Fallout 4 was announced by Bethesda. That's coming out in November. And they said that they fought for all the PC mods are going to be available for Xbox players for free. And there's this super cool Pip-Boy edition that's going to come out where there's this, like, arm gauntlet monochrome screen, like, control thing called the Pip-Boy in the series. It's going to be a cell phone case for your arm that you can slide your phone into and run a Pip-Boy app and wear your Pip-Boy on your arm.
That's
cute. I'm excited to buy that. And just a couple more things real quick. Star Wars Battlefront.
Yeah.
They're doing a Final Fantasy VII remake, which
I'm insane.
Nervous and excited for.
It looks gorgeous.
And then the trailers for the big Destiny DLC, which is almost like a second game. The Taken King stuff looks super fucking cool with new subclasses for all the different characters and
also
stuff.
Also, they confirmed that Eevee is a playable, from the start, non-DLC character for Assassin's Creed.
Yes.
That the girl, for the first time...
The sister.
For the first time, you can play the entirety of Assassin's Creed as a girl, from the start, not unlockable, not some fucking DLC content,
exception of the Assassin's Creed game that had just the female protagonist that took place
but that
in
wasn't
Louisiana
a game.
In the swamps.
It was a PS3. That was a fucking Vita game.
Right, but it was a full Assassin's Creed game.
It's not the same, I don't
think. And it came out to 360.
And it was I don't think that's the same at all. This is a full franchise, not some middling.
I'm just saying.
I know they put out their games in weird waves, but that did not get nearly the marketing this did.
Well, no, of course
it was
didn't.
Just a side project.
Yeah, right? This is like a flagship
game.
Title.
Yeah, that's my point.
I agree to that.
It was like a half game. It was a three-fifths game.
Ouch.
Oh, there it is. There we go. Yeah. So
technically, the protagonist is of that game is also half white, so you would have to do some more math there, I think.
Six tenths.
God damn it, Molly.
My geeky boner is not math.
Yeah. Yeah, that just makes him think of his mother, and all of a sudden he's hard for a different reason.
Okay. Yay for boners.
Yay for boners.
If you have something from E3 that you saw that got you hard, let us know, because there's so much shit there that it's hard to keep track of it all. We're going to move on.
Unless it's Fable Legends. It's probably going to be garbage.
Yeah, it's not a real Fables game. It's just some other game with a Fables makeover.
It's just a fucking MMO.
Let's talk about our five questions.
Yeah,
let's
five questions.
Five answers from someone.
I have five answers from David Zimmerman from Raleigh, North Carolina, who grew up in Cleveland, Ohio.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
And he has a brief preamble. I was raised in a secular home, so I never really held any religious beliefs, although some summers spent visiting Grandma, who was religious, imparted some doubts for a while. My mother made sure I was a critical thinker when I started to show interest in UFOs and von Däniken and that ilk, and she got me Martin Gardner's Fads and Fallacies, which made me realize how prevalent the BS can be. you haven't read Fads and Fallacies. How can that be? Presumptuous. I reread it recently and found it just as relevant as ever, since much of the examples he uses are from long ago.
Fads and Fallacies. Question number one, what's the best movie you've seen in the last 30 days?
Among the good movies I've seen recently are Guardians of the Galaxy, Yay. Twice, The Theory of Everything, and The Imitation Game. As a result of The Imitation Game and some other answers, I have started watching Sherlock. But the winner is The Wizard of Oz in the theater. I have seen this movie on TV God only knows how many times, and she ain't telling. But never before on the big screen. This is a terrifying movie. When the monkeys take off, when Oz first starts showing his smoke and fire, the tornado. But the scariest bit for me has to be when the witch is talking to Dorothy from the crystal ball and she turns toward the camera all green and wicked and shit.
The first time I saw The Wizard of Oz was in a theater. I was probably about 5 or 6 years old, and it scared the shit out of me.
I was never afraid of the flying monkeys. I was afraid of when they start pulling out the scarecrow's straw.
Yeah, that's scary.
That's what scared me the most as a kid, because I was like, he can't even stop them, like, because the flying monkeys weren't real. But for some reason, the fact that they could pull out the scarecrow's straw was a very tangible fear for me.
I've just never been a fan. I just don't. It's not a...
I don't know. The Wizard of Oz is not one of my favorite films. I think, you know, it's really... It's a good, well-done movie, but it's never been my thing. And I don't know if it's because of that experience as a six-year-old getting kind of... that it really getting creeped scared. Me out, or... Who knows? But it's a good movie.
I always thought that it was that the black and white parts were so fucking boring when I was a kid. That
I did too.
I was just, and now those are the parts that are, I guess, a little more interesting, because it's like, oh, there's some fucked up shit happening.
There is some fucked up shit.
I also was very afraid of her threatening Toto. That was something that also was a very real fear for me, that someone could just come and take away your dog.
For you, yeah.
That someone
yeah.
could just take away your pet, your beloved yeah. friend, because of a lie, because she's lying. And they were going to kill Toto anyway, even though she was lying, and I was so upset about that. Yeah.
Question number two, who is your favorite atheist character?
There are several to choose from, and previous answers have mentioned many, but I choose Alicia Florrick from The Good Wife. I haven't seen that. She is so unapologetically a non-believer, even if she has to phrase it carefully during the election. Her conflicts of conscience as a lawyer show her to be a moral person caught in ethically ambiguous situations.
Oh, Kim, you've talked about this.
I know about the character. I haven't seen the show.
I've heard it's really good.
Which is, it's Julianne Margulies is the...
Margulies.
I don't know.
Julianne Margulies.
Margulies, whatever. Margulies. Nobody cares. Anyway, the point is...
Suck on that, Julianne Margulies.
Yes, that's right, Julie, because she listens. but
she doesn't know.
I know her character is an atheist, and I've read several atheist bloggers talking about how that's dealt with. So, yeah, she's a great choice.
Cool.
Question number three, what is your geekiest hobby?
I play with Mandelbrot sets and Julia sets and other related fractals.
Yay, fractals.
That's super geeky. When I was pretending to be a graduate student in mathematics, my advisor was an expert on the subject, and I've been fascinated with them ever since. I've written programs to explore and color them in interesting ways. I've printed many, and our house has lots of them on the walls. I've attached a few for your amusement.
Oh, we'll have to make sure that... I know it. Definitely
cool.
know
it. Oh, yeah, it's pretty
cool. I was obsessed with those when I was in high school as well. Yeah. I didn't even smoke weed in high school, so...
So, it was just...
it wasn't that.
It was just interesting, I guess.
Question number four, what is your favorite sandwich?
This is a long answer, as I have several favorites. In no particular order. I love me some Jersey Mike's pastrami Reuben on whole wheat. This sandwich is so big, messy, and pastrami-y. Years ago, when I lived in Ithaca, New York, there was a sandwich shop in the basement of the office building I worked in that made a grilled peanut butter bacon tomato sandwich, which sounds unlikely, and I've never seen it anywhere since. A comfort food of mine is to lightly toast some sturdy bread, like rye or a multigrain, put four pieces on a plate, slice up a nasty blue cheese, like a piquant gorgonzola, microwave that for 30 to 45 seconds until the blue cheese is sinking into the bread and the kitchen stinks of cheese. As an aside, I believe that any cheese you don't need to wrestle your nose to the ground to get into your mouth is not worth eating. And lastly, when I was growing up, I lived very close to the elementary school and generally ate lunch at home. But when I went to junior high and took my lunch, I discovered that other people did not eat peanut butter and mayonnaise. Never Miracle Whip. Well, fuck you too. I like my peanut butter and mayonnaise on soft whole wheat, perhaps slightly toasted, i.e. just enough so that the knife makes noise. Enough peanut butter to be serious and plenty of mayonnaise, damn the mess.
Dude, you are a sandwich
that
junkie.
That makes me want to vomit. The thought of eating that makes me want to throw up, I'll tell you right now.
So I've heard peanut butter and mayonnaise, or peanut butter and Miracle Whip, if you're a good person, from other people before, and this is the most convincing argument I've ever heard for that sandwich. It makes it so the peanut butter doesn't stick to your top of your mouth and around your teeth.
Well, that's peanut butter and butter too, but I've also had.
It's peanut butter and flavor lubricant.
Yeah, boy, peanut butter and cum's probably pretty like keeps the roof of your mouth clean, but. It's a boners episode. I gotta talk about cum. Tim, did you know cum comes from boners?
I did. I was aware. Yes. Question number five. What's the stupidest thing anybody's ever said to you about your atheism?
Not directly related to atheism, but my boss once told me with a straight face that it was, quote, just a theory. I had to take the rest of the day off.
Evolution.
Yeah.
I think he means evolution. Why do so many religious people think this is a reasonable thing to say? A friend once asked, what if you're wrong? But I think he was just exploring what it meant to me to be an atheist. He wanted to hear the answer. He wasn't trying to talk me into belief. He may, in fact, be an atheist himself. Yes. Yeah. Well, that's fantastic. Thank you so much, David Zimmerman.
Yeah.
David Zimmerman.
Thanks, David. If you have your 5 answers that you'd like to send, please send them in to 5questions@geeksthoughtgod.com. We have been talking about doing something fun with that soon. We'll see.
We'll see.
Maybe you should come to Convergence and see for yourself. Otherwise, if you're not going to be to Convergence...
which is over
which
at
is,
this point?
No. No, it's 2 weeks from now.
2 weeks from now.
Oh, yeah, okay, yeah. Cool. Yeah. I never know when we're going to put these up.
I know.
If you're not going to be at Convergence, what you should do is go to iTunes and rate us and maybe recommend us to a friend. And otherwise, we'll see you next Tuesday.
Bye.
Hey, Tim, you know what it sounds like when Mario gets an erection?
What?
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks without God.
Until next time, you can find us blogging and listen to past podcasts at geekswithoutgod.com. And you can follow us on Twitter at geekswithoutgod.
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God.
Blah, 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 weird details, blah.